Oration and Panegyric to Origen by St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. Part 7. 15. The Case of Divine Matters. Only God and His prophets are to be heard in these. The prophets and their auditors are acted on by the same afflatus, spirit. Origen's excellence in the interpretation of Scripture. With respect to these human teachers, indeed, he counseled us to attach ourselves to none of them, not even though they were attested as most wise by all men, but to devote ourselves to God alone and to the prophets. And he himself became the interpreter of the prophets to us, and explained whatever was dark or enigmatical in them. For there are many things of that kind in the sacred words, and whether it be that God is pleased to hold communication with men in such a way as that the divine word may not enter all naked and uncovered into an unworthy soul, such as many are, or whether it be that while every divine oracle is in its own nature most clear and perspicuous, it seems obscure and dark to us, who have apostatized from God and have lost the faculty of hearing through time and age, I cannot tell. But however the case may stand, if it be that there are some words really enigmatical, he explained all such, and set them in the light, as being himself a skilled and most discerning hearer of God. Or, if it be that none of them are really obscure in their own nature, they were also not unintelligible to him, who alone of all men of the present time with whom I have myself been acquainted, or of whom I have heard of by the report of others, has so deeply studied the clear and luminous oracles of God, as to be able at once to receive their meaning into his own mind, and to convey it to others. For that leader of all men, who inspires God's dear prophets, and suggests all their prophecies and their mystic and heavenly words, has honored this man as he would a friend, and has constituted him an expositor of these same oracles, and things of which he only gave a hint by others, he made matters of full instruction by this man's instrumentality. Or in things which he, who is worthy of all trust, either enjoined in regal fashion or simply enunciated, he imparted to this man the gift of investigating and unfolding and explaining them, so that if there chance to be any one of obtuse and incredulous mind, or one, again, thirsting for instruction, he might learn from this man, and in some manner be constrained to understand and to decide for belief, and to follow God. These things, moreover, as I judge, he gives forth only and truly by participation in the divine spirit. For there is need of the same power for those who prophesy and for those who hear the prophets. And no one can rightly hear a prophet unless the same spirit who prophesies bestows on him the capacity of apprehending his words. And this principle is expressed indeed in the Holy Scriptures themselves, when it is said that only he who shuts opens, and no other one whatever. And what is shut is opened when the word of inspiration explains mysteries. Now, that greatest gift this man has received from God, and that noblest of all endowments he has had bestowed upon him from heaven, that he should be an interpreter of the oracles of God to men, and that he might understand the words of God, even as if God spoke them to him, and that he might recount them to men in such wise that they may hear them with intelligence. Therefore, to us, there was no forbidden subject of speech. For there was no matter of knowledge hidden or inaccessible to us. But we had it in our power to learn every kind of discourse, both foreign and Greek, both spiritual and political, both divine and human. And we were permitted with all freedom to go round the whole circle of knowledge and investigate it, and satisfy ourselves with all kinds of doctrines, and enjoy the sweets of intellect. And whether it was some ancient system of truth, or whether it was something one might otherwise name that was before us, we had in him an apparatus and a power at once admirable and full of the most beautiful views. And to speak in brief, he was truly a paradise to us, after the similitude of the paradise of God, wherein we were not set indeed to till the soil beneath us, or to make ourselves gross with bodily nurture, but only to increase the acquisitions of mind with all gladness and enjoyment, planting, so to speak, some fair growths ourselves, or having them planted in us by the Author of all things. 16. Gregory laments his departure under a threefold comparison, likening it to Adam's departure out of paradise, to the prodigal son's abandonment of his father's house, and to the deportation of the Jews into Babylon. Here, truly, is the paradise of comfort. Here are true gladness and pleasure, as we have enjoyed them during this period which is now at its end. No short space, indeed, in itself, and yet all too short, if this is really to be its conclusion, when we depart and leave this place behind us. For I know not what has possessed me, or what offense has been committed by me, that I should now be going away, that I should now be put away. I know not what I should say, unless it be that I am like a second Adam, and have begun to talk outside of paradise. How excellent might my life be, were I but a listener to the addresses of my teacher, and silent myself. Would that even now I could have learned to be mute and speechless, rather than to present this new spectacle of making the teacher the hearer. For what concern had I with such a harangue as this? And what obligation was there upon me to make such an address, when it did not become me to depart, but to cleave fast to this place? But these things seem like the transgressions that sprung from the pristine deceit, and the penalties of these primeval offences still await me here. Do I not appear to myself to be disobedient in daring thus to overpass the words of God, when I ought to abide in them and hold by them? And in that I withdraw, I flee from this blessed life, even as the primeval man fled from the face of God, and I return to the soil from which I was taken. Therefore, shall I have to eat of the soil all the days of my life there, and I shall have to till the soil, the very soil which produces thorns and thistles for me, that is, pains and reproachful anxieties, set loose as I shall be from cares that are good and noble. And what I left behind me before, to that I now return, to the soil, as it were, from which I came, and to my common relationships here below, and to my father's house, leaving the good soil, where of old I did not know that the good fatherland lay, leaving also the relations in whom at a later period I began to recognize the true kinsman of my soul, and the house, too, of him who is in truth our father, in whom the father abides, and is piously honored and revered by the genuine sons whose desire it also is to abide therein. But I, destitute alike of all piety and worthiness, am going forth from the number of these, and am turning back to what is behind, and am retracing my steps. It is recorded that a certain son, receiving from his father the portion of goods that fell to him proportionately with the other heir, his brother, departed by his own determination into a strange country far distant from his father, and living there in riot, he scattered his ancestral substance and utterly wasted it. And at last, under the pressure of want, he hired himself as a swineherd, and being driven to extremity by hunger, he longed to share the food given to the swine, but could not touch it. Thus did he pay the penalty of his dissolute life, when he had to exchange his father's table, which was a princely one, for something he had not looked forward to, the sustenance of swine and serfs. And we also seem to have some such fortune before us, now that we are departing, and that too without the full portion that falls to us. For though we have not received all that we ought, we are nevertheless going away, leaving behind us what is noble and dear with you and beside you, and taking in exchange only what is inferior. For all things melancholy will now meet us in succession. Tumult and confusion instead of peace, and an unregulated life instead of one of tranquility and harmony, and a hard bondage, and the slavery of marketplaces, and lawsuits, and crowds, instead of this freedom. And neither pleasure nor any sort of leisure will remain to us for the pursuit of nobler objects. Neither shall we have to speak of the words of inspiration, but we shall have to speak of the works of men, a thing which has been deemed simply a bane by the prophet, and in our case indeed, those of wicked men. And truly we shall have night in place of day, and darkness in place of the clear light, and grief instead of the festive assembly, and in place of a fatherland, a hostile country will receive us, in which I shall have no liberty to sing my sacred song. For how could I sing it in a land strange to my soul, in which the sojourners have no permission to approach God, but only to weep and mourn, as I call to mind, the different state of things here, if indeed even that shall be in my power. We read that enemies once assailed a great and sacred city, in which the prophet of God was observed, and dragged away its inhabitants, both singers and prophets, into their own country, which was Babylon. And it is narrated that those captives, when they were detained in the land, refused, even when asked by their conquerors, to sing the divine song or to play in a profane country, and hung their harps on the willow trees, and wept by the rivers of Babylon. Like one of these I verily seem to myself to be, as I am cast forth from this city and from this sacred fatherland of mine, where both by day and by night the holy laws are declared, and hymns and songs and spiritual words are heard, where also there is perpetual sunlight, where by day in waking vision we have access to the mysteries of God, and by night in dreams we are still occupied with what the soul has seen and handled in the day, and where, in short, the inspiration of divine things prevails over all, continually. From this city, I say, I am cast forth, and borne captive to a strange land, where I shall have no power to pipe. For like these men of old, I shall have to hang my instrument on the willows, and the rivers shall be my place of sojourn, and I shall have to work in mud, and shall have no heart to sing hymns, even though I remember them. Yea, it may be, through constant occupation with other subjects, I shall forget even them, like one spoiled of memory itself. And would that in going away I went only against my own will, as a captive is wont to do. But I also go away of my own will, and not by constraint of another. And by my own act I am dispossessed of this city, when it is in my option to remain in it. Perchance, too, in leaving this place, I may be going to prosecute no safe journey. And indeed it is but too likely that in journeying I may fall into the hands of robbers, and be taken prisoner, and be stripped and wounded with many strokes, and be cast forth to lie half dead somewhere. 17. Gregory consoles himself. But why should I utter such lamentations? There lives still the Savior of all men, even of the half-dead and despoiled, the protector and physician for all, the Word, that sleepless keeper of all. We have also seeds of truth, which you have made us know as our possession, and all that we have received from you, those noble deposits of instruction with which we take our course. And, though we weep, indeed, as those who go forth from home, yet we carry those seeds with us. It may be, then, that the keeper who presides over us will bear us in safety through all that shall befall us, and it may be that we shall come yet again to you, bearing with us the fruits and handfuls yielded by these seeds. Far from perfect, truly, for how could they be so? But still, such as a life spent in civil business makes it possible for us to rear, though marred indeed by a kind of faculty that is either unapt to bear fruit altogether, or prone to bear bad fruit, but which I trust is one not destined to be further misused by us, if God grants us grace. 18. Peroration and apology for the oration. Wherefore let me now have done with this address, which I have had the boldness to deliver, in a presence wherein boldness least became me. Yet this address is one which, I think, has aimed heartily at signifying our thanks to the best of our ability. For though we have had nothing to say worthy of the subject, we could not be altogether silent. And one, too, which has given expression to our regrets, as those are wont to do who go abroad in separation from friends. And whether this speech of mine may not have contained things puerile or bordering on flattery, or things offending by excess of simplicity on the one hand, or of elaboration on the other, I know not. Of this, however, I am clearly conscious, that at least there is in it nothing unreal, but all that is true and genuine, in sincerity of opinion, and in purity and integrity of judgment. 19. Apostrophe to Origen, and therewith the leave-taking and the urgent utterance of prayer. But, O dear soul, arise and offer prayer, and now dismiss us. And as by your holy instructions you have been our rescuer when we enjoyed your fellowship, so save us still by your prayers in our separation. Commend us and set us constantly before you in prayer. Or rather, commend us continually to that God who brought us to time, giving thanks for all that has been granted us in the past, and imploring him still to lead us by the hand in the future and to stand ever by us, filling our mind with the understanding of his precepts, inspiring us with the godly fear of himself, and vouchsafing us henceforward his choicest guidance. For when we are gone from you, we shall not have the same liberty of obeying him as was ours when we were with you. Pray, therefore, that some encouragement may be conveyed to us from him when we lose your presence, and that he may send us a good conductor, some angel to be our comrade on the way. And entreat him also to turn our course, for that is the one thing which above all else will effectually comfort us and bring us back to you again. End of part 7. End of Oration and Panegyric to Origen.